What we're talking about is we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit, but I don't call them much that because that seems to bring them down, what we've just viewed as religiously for the last many years. I call them inner powers and inner strengths to deal with hard times in our life. They're the inner strengths and the inner powers that God gives us to be able to overcome our flesh that's trying to hinder us from receiving everything the cross bought for us, really. And so what these inner strengths and inner powers do, they help us, their empowerment, their strengths, their powerful graces that are in the Holy Spirit, that they're available to us. They're not automatic. You have to let peace. You have to allow it. You have to count it. You have to activate it. But if we will activate it in the Spirit, then it becomes a real inner source and our inner strength to deal with hard times in our life and to deal with hard people in our life, to deal with hard moments in our life. They're power sources. And so we can activate. Every person here that's saved has access to that. Now, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, I truly believe that you have double access to it. It's there and ever much more greater power. But we left off this morning with the scripture in Hebrews chapter 12 where it says, follow peace. And that means that God gives me a direction, something I can do, something I can activate. I'm to follow the way of peace. And then it says, and holiness, which means live a separate. I don't act like the world. I choose not to think about it like the world. I choose to think differently. I choose to think like God about it. I choose to believe like God about it. That's holy. Holy is not in the length of your shirt, or I said this morning, the length of your dress, but I sure would like our ladies to take note about that. But at the same note, that's not holiness. Holiness is when I come to a place to where that I am not part of the world. I'm different than that world system. I'm separated unto God. I'm separated the way I think. I won't think about hard times like regular people will. We won't think about battles the way normal people do. And then the Bible gives that powerful promise that we're immediately ushered into the very presence of God. And then we're seated with Christ Jesus in heavenly places to get a different view. Now, that's important. I'm going to go back to that. Uh-oh. Somebody help me. There you go. Uh-oh. Holy Ghost. All right. But the reason is just, you want some more buttons? Thank you. Thank you, Stephen, for trying. Thank you for Jeremy for being faster than Stephen. And it brings me, if I will follow peace, and then if I will live a separate thinking life, live a separate value life, if I will do that, then it immediately ushers me into the very presence of God. And immediately I can see God. And I'm come to a place of seated with Christ Jesus in heavenly places where I can begin to view my difficulties, my problems, my battles. I can begin to view them differently. I can begin to view people differently. Now that's of vital importance, because we're going to talk about in just a minute why that it is. Now in Romans chapter 16:20, it said the very God of peace will soon. Everybody say will soon. Will soon. I tell you, when you get in that elevated place, when you follow after peace and you're elevated into that place of seated with Christ Jesus, God gives you a powerful promise. The promise is God is soon going to come to your rescue. And he's fixing to soon crush Satan underneath your feet. I love what it's the God of peace that does that. It's not the God of anxiety. It's not the God of fear. It's God, not the God of depression. It's not the God of discouragement. It's when you and I make a choice to live a separated life. And to live separate, what I mean is to choose peace. Anyone can react negatively, but it takes the strength and the grace of God to exhibit and allow that power source that God's put inside of us to be able to deal with people and to deal with circumstances different than the world. That's why if you're a believer tonight and you have access to this power and you know there's an inner strength, inner power in you, if somebody can stand up and just cuss you out, and you can smile and have the strength of God. That's the power of God's grace. The power of God's grace. And you can handle difficulty. And so the very God people soon question saved. Now, but when the Holy Spirit controls that, not only does he produce love, joy, and peace, but I want to talk about patience, because a reason to know that is some battles are long. God gives us inner strength and inner ability to be able to handle a long-term storm. Some battles are just that way. We'll talk about in just a few minutes why some battles are that way, why some storms are long, why some storms are short. But it's just vital important for me to know that this storm, God didn't give you the timing on the storm, but he makes available everything that you need to deal with the storm. And to have faith, to be at a place of peace, to be rejoicing with joy, and to be able to handle it long term. Now, this word endurance is originally in the King James word long suffering. I've told you before that it means a long time. He has a long wick, the ability to go a long time. The Lord spoke to my heart and he said, Jerry, I'm making battle tanks. I'm not making go-karts. And that's what God's doing. You've got to get into that. If you're looking for an easy life, man, you're in the wrong world, number one. You won't have an easy life if you're living in the world. You're not going to have an easy life if you're living in Jesus. So you've got to let God make you strong. And God builds us into these battle tanks. And he's not busy. We all want to make one of those little front go-karts, little bumper car things. That's not what God's doing. God's doing something supernatural in you that can handle pressure, that can handle pain, that can handle difficulty for long periods of time. And you can outweigh the devil. You can resist him till he flees. Amen. Somebody said, I can resist him. I have the strength and the grace of God. I can resist him till he flees. And that's what this powerful power inside of us called long-suffering and endurance is. Now, the book of Colossians chapter 1, verse 11 says, we are strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering and rejoicing. Amen. And rejoicing while we're doing it. What this means is God has put a strength in us. Everybody say, God put a strength in us. He has strengthened me with a mighty power inside me. If I will activate it, God's strength in me, he will be able, according to his glorious power, not according to my weakness, but according to his glorious power, he is able to sustain me through patience and long suffering, and I can be joyful while it's going on for the glory of God. So you need to quit. You need to just start. Don't say, oh, I can't stand that. You need to drop that kind of language. You need to begin to confess the truth over your life. And the truth over your life, I can do all things through Christ. I can endure. I can wait. I can put up with. I can deal with it for the glory of God until God breaks through and the devil flees. Amen. All right, consider this. It depicts the attitude. What we're talking about, long-suffering, it depicts the attitude of a person who is under a heavy load but refuses to surrender to defeat. Under a heavy load, that's what this power in you does. It gives you the power to sustain under a heavy load, and you refuse defeat because you know you're in your place. Now, that ability comes, and one of those is so good. I'm so thankful to get that in the children's lives. See, the Word of God tells us our place. The Word of God, the written Word of God coming in my heart tells me my place. It tells me I am a child of God. It tells me what I have. It tells me what I can do. And this powerful gift of long suffering, this powerful power source inside of us, all right, that God can do work in you that will cause you to outlast your battle. You got to begin to confess that. This battle is not going to get me down. You are superhuman when it comes to the grace of God in you. You're not left up anymore to mere human means. God's building a tank, not a go-kart. Do you understand? All right, then the Bible says in the book of Colossians, says, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering. Do you see what it says? It's an action. I do something about it. I put it on. Amen. I put it on. Just like we were talking about Peter this morning, take that step out of the boat. You activate the faith. You activate your faith in what God says is in you. You activate it by faith. But when you activate and you step out of that water holds you up. And that's the way long suffering is. You don't believe. You are weak, but God's strong. Amen. And the strength of God is in you. You can handle anything that the devil would ever throw at you. You can handle it. You can deal with it. Or you know that God would never allow it. So the strength of God and the grace of God can handle. You have the power to go through it. All right, so the Bible says put it on. So that's what we want to be. We want to put it on. We have to do it. We have to activate it. Now, the amazing thing about it, we activate all these things. Put on meekness, long suffering. Oh, I wanted to show it because this is how to amplify this second time I brought this same verse. It's the power to endure whatever comes. That's what the Amplified says is long suffering. It's the power to endure whatever comes. Somebody says, praise God. I tell you what, that's just a wonderful thing to know. That God's grace in you and God's strength in you can handle anything. And that's what it says, Amplified says, the power to endure. All right, how does God transform me? Now let's talk about why battles get long sometimes. Why, when you get in this heavenly place, you got the peace in the midst of that, why that battle gets long. Well, you have to come to terms. Let me ask you this. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. Let's get that scripture down. It says, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, we're changed or we're transformed. How does God transform me? How does that transformation take place that God is working in my life? Now, the book of Matthew chapter 5, verse 48, what does it say? Be you therefore perfect. Now, I ask you Wednesday night, how many of you thought Jesus was perfect? And I ask you, how many of you think Jesus was perfect when he's here on earth? And we all certainly say that in his godliness, he was perfect in every way. But the word perfect is the word really mature. So what had to happen is the spirit of Jesus had to mature his flesh the same way that yours does. That's how Jesus became perfect. Because the spirit of God inside him, the strength of his spirit, had to be able to mature his flesh. And that's what it said in Hebrews chapter 2 verse 10. It says, God for whom and through whom everything was made, chose to bring many children into glory. And it was only right that he should make Jesus through his suffering perfect. How did Jesus become perfect? Through his faith? Through his suffering. Through his suffering. Because that's the very same reason that your trials and my trials get long at times. Is because God is maturing me. How does God transform me? Suffering plus what makes one mature? Suffering plus what makes people mature? Suffering plus truth, revealed truth, makes one mature. Because the first thing God reveals, a revelation to you. Let's say, for example, God gives you a revelation that he is healer. And you put in your mind, you begin to cast down every imagination and every thought that tries to work in opposite to that. Then that's why when the devil comes in, I'm making you sick. We say, no, I'm not going to listen to that devil. I believe that God's my healer. And I believe that Jehovah Rapha has healed me. I received that by faith. I was healed 2,000 years ago. And you begin to make that stand on that. Amen? But that's not transforming at the moment. It's revelation. Your spirit has been revealed and your spirit taken note, but your spirit already knew it, really. But now you're getting your mind on key and you begin to use that word of God to transform your mind. But then God leads you into battle. You're led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tested of the enemy. And during that process, that when you take truth, what you believe, and you take that and God leads you, everybody said, led by the Spirit. Now, some people lead their own way into a difficulty. But led by the Spirit of God is in this wonderful, wonderful position of training us and making us mature. And the Spirit of God is so powerfully working to mature our lives in the things of God. And so he leads us into conflict. Some of you think you can run from conflict. Well, you may can run from your conflict, but you can't run when the Spirit of the Lord is leading you. Because the Spirit of the Lord led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted or be tested of the devil. And there the truth that Jesus believed is just like the truth you believe. It's confronted and it's contested. And once it's contested, remember this morning I told you the difference in a temptation and a test? A test means I've walked through a trial with the revelation of truth in my life. Temptation means I walked through a trial and it helped me none. Temptation doesn't help you. It makes you worse. But the same thing is the same situation. The difference is what's in my life and what I will allow to activate. And then it becomes a test which only provides moving up. Moving up. So God to mature us, that's why Jesus became perfect through the things he suffered, or became mature, because he believed truth. He is the living word. But his flesh had to be confronted, had to confront the issues. And then once that takes place, transformation has occurred. God has done a work of God, because experience, the Bible says, brings forth or worketh hope. So you must experience. It has voice. We like the textbook model. But it's rough when it's field ripened. And let me be honest with you. God is in the business just the same way as Walmart sells their field ripened tomatoes for a higher price. God's in the business of making you worth higher price too. He's field ripening you, your fruit. So God takes you the sun ripened? Well, I mean sun ripened, S-O-N, sun ripened, for the glory of God, amen? So we're sun ripened, field ripened, on the field, in the experience of life, because the truth that you believe, it will go where rubber meets the road. As long as it's just in your head, it's in your head, and you're doing the work of transformation there. But it must be worked into experience, the Bible says. I must experience God's victories. I must experience God's miracles. I must experience God's deliverances. I must experience God's help. Amen? All right, now, Romans chapter 5, verse 3, it says, moreover, let us also be full of joy now. Notice this scripture. Let us also be full of joy now. Let us exult and triumph in our victories. Is that what it says? In our what? In our troubles. We're supposed to rejoice in our troubles. That's what it says? We're supposed to rejoice in our troubles and rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that. Everybody say, I know something. I know something. Everybody say, I know something. Something in me is strong. Something in me is stronger than this trouble. God's not going to let me die at this trouble. God's not going to leave me here. God's not going to leave me. See, God is a good Samaritan. He's not a bad Samaritan. He don't leave you on the roadside bleeding and begging. He comes and gathers you up and carries you and maintains you. Amen? So we don't have to be afraid of trouble, man. God makes tanks, not go-karts. So God's working it. So let us exult and triumph in our troubles and rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that. I know, somebody say, I know something. I know that pressure. Everybody say pressure. But the strength of grace of God in us is stronger than any pressure out here. The strength of God in here is stronger than the stress and the pressure of your health failing. It's stronger than the pressure of your finances failing. It's stronger than the pressure of your marriage failing. And the strength of God in here can overpower that's out here. Amen. Also know that pressure and affliction and hardship produce patient and unswerving endurance. I know that. So when God says the Holy Spirit is in me developing endurance, this is the process that he's using. He is using truth plus situations, circumstances. Now, don't hear me wrong. I'm not telling you God's making you sick. And I'm not saying that God is the author of your difficulties. It's the same way as with Jesus. You're led by the Spirit of God into the wilderness to be tempted of who? The devil. But God uses the devil for his school of endurance. And so it's important that you not only have peace in the battle that puts you in the heavenly sphere, but it's important that you have endurance, because some battles are long. And unless you know that God's going to strengthen you to outlast that battle, you've just got to get an area of victory. Amen? All right, now in 2 Timothy it says, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier. That's what God says. I must endure it. I must learn to fight tough. I must learn to continue, even in the midst of pain, in the midst of difficulty. You've got to learn that when pain is still there, you've got to begin to know I've got a peace, I've got a settleness in my heart, that God's word has promised me that I'm healed by his stripes. You're able to stand in the midst of hardship. Amen. So, and then 1 Peter says, but God of all grace, who hath called, I love this scripture, one of my favorite scriptures for years, but the God of all grace, who hath called us to eternal glory by Christ Jesus. After that, you have suffered a while. What will he do? What will he do after you suffer a while? After you have suffered a while, he'll make you perfect, establish, he'll strengthen you, he'll settle you, and the Amplified says, he'll make you what you ought to be for the glory of God. Give God a hand. The Holy Spirit is so powerful. He's going to use that difficulty, whatever it is. Quit complaining. Start praising. Amen. Quit being fearful and allow God to bring you into a settledness of peace. Where however this long this battle lasts, that you can be seated with Christ Jesus in heavenly places, looking down on the battle, knowing that God's your victor, and knowing that you're going to win this thing for the glory of God. Amen. So it's just important to realize that. All right, now in the book of Hebrews it said, for you have need of endurance. Do you know endurance is what's going to bring your miracle? For ye have need of endurance, or the King James says patience. For you have need of patience or endurance after you've done the will of God. Well, what is the will of God? It says, after you've done the will of God, so that ye may what? Receive the promise. You see three steps there? I've got to have patience. I've got to get this strength of endurance inside me. I can handle hard things. We can walk through hard things. God's building tanks, not go-karts. You hear what I'm telling you? You can deal with hard because the strength of God, the grace of God is in us. Amen. And we can deal with those things. And the Bible says that I have need of endurance, because endurance is going to be the thing that's going to keep me going when I continually every day keep getting up doing what the will of God says. What do? I get up and pray. I get up and confess. I get up and rejoice. I get up and maintain my place of peace day after day, day after day. And only the strength of God in your spirit can give you the strength to do that. To look at a situation that refuses to change, and you get up day after day rejoicing and praising God, going to bed, get up the next day looking the same thing, see the same thing, raise your hand, praise God, rejoice, keep your peace, make that stand of peace. Only the strength of God can help you do that. But the Bible says if we do that, then we can inherit the promises. Amen. So the powerful work of God's grace is working. Now, maturity is loving people that are hard to love. Maturity is walking through hard circumstances and not losing your joy and your faith. Maturity is being able to endure for a long, long time. Amen. But when the Holy Spirit controls our life, and this one we have to close with tonight, not only has he produced love, give me a strength and a power of love, not only has he given me a strength and a power of joy, a strength and a power of peace, and a strength and a power of endurance, but he also gives me a gentleness. Gentleness is one of the strongest powers, probably the most needed power that we have, our traits like Jesus that we need in our life. God's called us into a deeper realm of gentleness. Gentleness is a power flow to turn my battle that God gives us. Now, the Bible says in the book of Psalms, chapter 18, says, you've also given me the shield of your salvation. Your right hand has held me up. Your gentleness has made me great. What makes me great? What makes us great? The gentleness of the Lord. Promotion comes out of the gentleness of the Lord. Now, what is that gentleness? All right, consider this. Gentleness is the Greek word, kritotos, is considered to be compassionate. It means compassionate, considerate, sympathetic, kind, or gentle. Gentleness, the word gentleness, so what it conveys in the Greek is this. It conveys the idea of being adaptable to others. See, what the enemy sends things into you, they're so opposite you to where that we spend most of our time trying to overcome something that's not even the battle. Gentleness, being willing to become whatever is needed in order to reach others, or it's the power in us to be able to adapt to any situation. Where Paul said, I've been made all things to all men, or he said, to the weak I become as weak. That's that gentleness at work in his life. It's the strength of grace. Now I'm going to tell you what, flesh can't do that. Flesh can't adapt to it. You say, well, you change fit me, or you don't change. You know, are you? It can't do that. But there's a strength of God inside of us, man. I can be a bullfrog. I can be an elephant. I'm telling you, there's a strength of God in us that will give us the strength and the ability to, no matter how old we are or how set in our ways we are, that's flesh. God is a strength and ability inside of us, if I will activate it, that gives me the ability to become whatever God needs me to become at that particular time. It's adaptable strength. Most people burn out. They can't run long term because they can't adapt. What I mean is they never learn to handle a load. They're always running like no load. Don't know how to handle difficult people. What God may be asking you to do at this time is to adapt to a people or to a circumstance. And when I call adapt, I don't mean you're giving your seal of approval. No, you speak the truth in love. But God gives you the strength where it doesn't pull you down. A lot of times in marriages, this is the problem. Unless that marriage is perfect, you just can't make it, you know. Unless she treats me just right, I won't put up with her. God gives you the power to adapt. There's a strength in you. You can adapt to anything today because you know tomorrow's going to be different for the glory of God. God gives you the strength to do that. That's why Paul said, I become all things. What do you need me to be? What do you need me to be today? Paul said, what do you need me to be? Somebody said, well, I'm my man's man. I'm only like I am. No, that's your flesh. But there's a power inside you that will allow you to adapt to a hard circumstance, to a long circumstance. All the while, you have a peace in the midst of that battle. And all the while, you know God is going to win this thing. And all the while, rejoicing, because you remember joy, is that rejoices under a heavy, heavy load. While you're activating the long suffering inside of you, while you can endure anything, God gives you the power to adapt. Honey, things may not be right at home, but God can give you the power to adapt now for the promise He's going to change the tomorrow. Things may not be right in your health now. Some people just say, well, I just can't stand this pain. I just can't. And that's true. Pain can get unbearable. But God can bring up the power and the strength of God in you to adapt to any situation that it won't wear you down. Man, that's a power, isn't it? That's the powerful gentleness of God. That was the adapting power of Jesus. Jesus came to earth and He adapted to us. And never once did it ever wear Him down. Because He had, in fact, the Bible says the gentleness of Christ. He had the gentleness of Christ. He had this power inside them, this strength of power. I can it's as strength as that bulldozer. Man, I'm running 5 miles an hour, but slow me down. I'm running 2 miles, whatever. Just let me lower my gear. I'll work through this thing. I may have to pull my gear back to first gear instead of running third gear, but that's okay. I can do that. 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 I can do that because strength is in me. Can't we? We can do that. We can do that. Oh, I want to cross that finish line quick, but I can do that too. I can crawl like a terrapin if need be. I can do that and have the joy of the Lord while we're doing it. Paul said, I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. The power to adapt is the power of gentleness. I can do what I need to do now. Everybody say that. I can do what I need to do now, knowing that God is changing it for me. And I can have a joy while I'm doing it. In relationships, I have the power to do what you need to be, what you need me to be. In circumstances, I can put up with whatever I need to now. Everybody say, I can put up with it. The strength of God's in me. I can put up with it. The strength of God's in me. I can put up with it because the strength of God's in me. I can put up with whatever I need to now, joyfully knowing that God is working things out for my good. Amen. The power of gentleness, the power of coping with difficult times. When the battle gets long, we just lower our gear. We just back up in our gear. And we become adaptable to that circumstance. Not changed by circumstances, but we have the power to adapt. If every marriage would practice this, there would be no more divorces. If every relationship, there would be no more parting of friends. Because our dependency is on the Lord. But not only does it adapt me to people, it adapts me to circumstances. A lot of times God has us, God leads us by the Spirit and puts us under difficult yokes. And it seems like we can wrestle with that yoke. Now, I'm not saying God don't want you to wrestle with it. But God didn't want it to drain you while you're doing it. This power that God puts in us is that power to adapt. Amen? Amen? He has equipped you for this battle. You can adapt. Whatever battle that you're fighting, He has equipped you for it. You've been led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tested by the enemy. Amen? Powerful, powerful weapon. Coping in difficult times. Powerful, powerful weapon. Let's close with this scripture. I can. Everybody say, I can. I can. I can do all things. I can do all things. Whatever the devil throws at you. Whatever life circumstances have tried to deal with you. Whatever the hard-headedness of people has tried to put in front of you. Whatever cutthroats has tried to stab you in the back. Whatever situation has tried to pull the rug out from under you. Whatever financial crisis has tried to ruin you. I can. I can. I can handle it with faith in God. Amen. Because I trust, everybody say it with me, I trust Jesus. I'm not talking about me personally, I'm talking about us. I trust Jesus. I trust the Lord. I can trust my battles into His hands. I can trust Him to win this thing for me. I can trust and I can adapt. He's told me to rejoice in the midst of my battles. I can rejoice. I can rejoice. I'm tired of serving the I can't. I've decided to serve the I can. The strength of God that's in me can adapt me to handle where I am, knowing that God's not going to leave me where I am, that God's going to bring it into a much brighter day. And soon, yes, weeping may endure for the night, honey, but joy, 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 but joy is soon to appear.